My name is Christian. I'm a researcher at NEC Labs in Princeton. And before I start, let me give a shout out to Anupam, who's the first author of this paper. He was an intern with us at NEC when he did most of the work here. So this is about how to efficiently process big data sets in cloud platforms. And what's the motivation here? Well, I'm sure most of you have seen a graph like this one. And in this case, it represents the relative growth of the volume of data generated by internet applications between 2006 and 2020. And the trend is clear. The amount of data increases a lot. And indeed, there are many more specific examples. For example, on the left side of the slide, on top, there's a plot showing the amount of tweets per day generated on Twitter between 2007 and 2012. On the bottom, there's the amount of data on the mobile internet between 97 and 2020. And the trend is similar as the red bars. It keeps increasing and increasing. And ironically, you'll see on the right side, on the right side of the slide, there is big data about big data itself. So that plot shows the weekly volume of Google searches for the term big data between 2004 and 2012. So having this much information in this world, we need efficient ways to actually manage it and extract values for the customers. We don't want to have something like this where we use traditional algorithms that are not fit for processing large amounts of information. And one of the more popular paradigms for processing big data relies on the partition aggregation model, best exemplified by Hadoop's MapReduce framework. And briefly how this works, assuming we have a cloud infrastructure composed of many servers that each have a limited computational power. And these servers are connected to each other through a network. And assume we have a large piece of data represented by the red blocks there that cannot be processed by one individual server. So what the framework does, it splits the data into many pieces. It sends each piece through the network to servers in the cloud. Each of these servers processes its own individual piece and then sends back the results through the network to an aggregation node that merges the intermediate results into one final result. And so this is well established, and there have been many efforts to improve the processing of MapReduce, to try to speed up the job processing. And these efforts are generally fitting into two directions. First direction involves trying to schedule computation. So the works mainly focus on how to better or more efficiently schedule the computation of the intermediate results on the servers. And for example, some of the works try to preserve data locality to put related pieces of data on the same machines, or try to look at what tasks are slow so that they remove those tasks so that the whole job does not slow down itself. Another direction that we're taking as well requires scheduling communication between the servers rather than or in addition to computation. So what this means is that the focus is on the paths between the servers in the cluster. And this is motivated by recent studies. For example, a study on Facebook Hadoop traces shows that around 33% of the average running time of Hadoop job is spent transferring data in the cluster network. So the approaches here require either better allocations for the bandwidth on the paths between servers, or changing those paths altogether. And actually, this last approach is the one we're taking. And what we propose here is a system called Flowcomp, which is essentially a network management framework whose goal is to improve the running time of Hadoop jobs by efficiently detecting data transfers, oftentimes even before they happen. And let me give you a brief overview of the design of Flowcomp, and I'll make the analogy with a railroad switch. So what we need to do first, we need to understand what kind of data flows through the network. So we want to see what's the utilization of the network and how much demand the Hadoop, the current Hadoop job or jobs place on the network. That's number one. Number two, once we know this information, we have to decide, should we take this path for the transfer, for the upcoming transfer, should we take this other path? So we decide which path we have taken. Finally, once we figure out what is the right path, what is the best path, we essentially switch the path. We change the path to the new one. So now I will go over these three design decisions one by one, and I'll tell you more details about what goes into each one of them. And in fact, this is the main contribution of the paper, demand prediction. That we want to understand what is the demand that an application, in our case Hadoop MapReduce, places upon the cloud network. And there are studies that show try to monitor the network utilization, what happens in the network by looking, for example, at NetFlow or SNMP counters. So, but the problem with those studies is that they may try to monitor the network or demand after the demand has occurred. What we want is a way to be quicker about it. And what we realize we can use application semantics information to effectively and more importantly transparently infer network transfers. And the key here is that we can do that sometimes before these transfers even start. So what's the magic here? Well, we looked at how Hadoop nodes communicate with each other, and it turns out that once intermediate data is available on a server, or intermediate result is available on a server, that data is not immediately sent over the network. And the time when that data is sent over the network is in fact decided by the aggregator node, which can, and it can vary from a few milliseconds to a few seconds. So our insight is that if we can use that time to actually change the data, change the path for the upcoming transfer, we may be able to have this path change before the transfer even starts. So how do we figure this out? Well, what we do, we install small software agents in every node in the Hadoop cluster, and these agents analyze the Hadoop logs and query the local Hadoop nodes using the available web API. And the information that they get is the following. They get information about whether an intermediate result has been computed and it has been written to the memory. How big is this result, the size of the upcoming transfer, and whether the network transfer has started or not. And each of these software agents will send information about this to a centralized decision engine, which performs the next step in our computation, which is the transfer scheduling, the flow scheduling. Essentially what this means is that if a flow needs to be rerouted on a different path, this decision engine will do so. And this is, there's nothing terribly new here. What we do is we centralize all the data from each software agent about what are the upcoming transfer and the current transfers. We choose transfers based on a FIFO policy, but this could be easily changed. And the decision whether to change the path for a transfer is done based on whether that transfer creates congestion on the default path. If it does, then we switch the path to another path, if, of course, one is available, with more available bandwidth. Finally, how do we enforce this path? In our case, we assume that the network is programmable and that we have access to the switch forwarding tables using the OpenFlow protocol, and we simply translate the path change policy into OpenFlow forwarding rules, and we install them into the network. So let me just briefly recap what we do here. We have a Hadoop cluster in which where we install software agents on each Hadoop server. These software agents monitor the Hadoop logs and query the local Hadoop nodes to find out information about current and upcoming data transfers in Hadoop. They send this information to a centralized decision engine. this decision engine computes whether it's necessary to switch paths, or if not, it just does nothing, transfers this information to the OpenFlow controller, which translates into OpenFlow rules and installs them into the network. So we did some preliminary experiments. What we set up a testbed in our lab, and the testbed was had about 8 OpenFlow switches and around 15 Hadoop nodes. And what we first wanted to see is whether the network really matters or not. That is this important? And so we first had a simple tree topology where we successively limited the bandwidth on each link of the network from 100, 50, 25, and 10 megabits per second. And for each value of the bandwidth, we ran 10 experiments where we sorted 10 gigabytes of randomly generated data with the MapReduce, and we computed the average, the processing time, and we averaged it over all experiments. And the result is that when the network is 10, when you have a 10 megabits per second network, we are almost 4 times slower than when we have 100 megabits per second. We made sure that all the parameters in the processing, except for the link capacity of the network, are the same between experiments. So now, what we went on and tried to understand whether how good are we at predicting transfer. So ideally, we want to predict a data transfer in Hadoop before that transfer actually starts, so that we can have time to modify the path if necessary. So it turns out that in our experiments, we're able, in 28% of the cases, again, we sorted, all experiments are with, when we sort 10 gigabits of randomly generated data with a Hadoop default sort method. So in this case, in 28% of the cases, we can detect a Hadoop transfer before it actually even starts. And in fact, in twice as many cases, we detected before the transfer even ends. So this is good, but this is not sufficient, because what we want is not only to predict these transfers, but in case a path change is necessary, we want to actually change the path of those transfers in time so that it can speed up the processing. So, question is, how quickly can we change this path? And to do so, we have this. I'm going to show you this plot where on the x-axis it's the normalized time of path change, and the two vertical lines represent when a transfer starts and when a transfer ends, and each of the blue dots is associated with one transfer. On the y-axis represents the fraction of transfers, and so essentially all the dots that are to the left of the first vertical line represent transfers that where the path could be changed before the transfer started. All the dots that are to the right of the rightmost vertical line represent transfers that for which we could not change the path even before the transfer actually ended. So translated into numbers, we can change the path of a transfer before the transfer ends in about 80% of the cases. But a little bit more useful is this number, where we can change the path in 60% of the cases before the midpoint of the transfer, essentially before half of the data in that Hadoop transfer has been transferred. So now the most important question: can we actually reduce processing time here? And what we did, we compared the Hadoop sort with our Flowcom middleware and without our Flowcom middleware. And it turns out that 36% faster than when we don't use Flowcom. But maybe a little bit more useful result is that we compared Flowcom with running Hadoop with ECMP, essentially choosing paths by hashing the packet, the flow packet headers. And
Flow Comintern, it can sort 10 gigabytes of data in about 28% faster time. So this was just preliminary experiment. We still have a lot of work to do, but I think the fundamental and essential idea here that we're trying to build a network management platform that is not only quick and accurate, but is also transparent to the application. So in our case, we can run Hadoop, and we don't need to modify Hadoop. Our Flowcom middleware just uses information about Hadoop semantics to infer upcoming data transfers. But Hadoop can run seamlessly on top of Flowcom. So this was it. I'm happy to take any questions.
Hi, Chris Stewart, Ohio State. Congestion on the, I guess this is modeled for a system where you're only running one MapReduce across the whole cluster.
Yes.
Any thoughts about what happens when you add congestion from other types of applications that would,
I think, make you have to be more adaptive? About it, but we have in our OpenFlow controller, we have a module that monitors the utilization in the network, the utilization that could come from other types of traffic, right, other than Hadoop. And we take that into account when we do the optimization.
Okay, great. Well, that's great. That's actually a great start. That's the first part. Then what happens when the congestion changes during the transfer itself, right? So after you've measured, you've switched paths, now, you know, I start some other MapReduce job that's using the same path.
So you're
have you considered any of these interference effects?
We switch paths back once we have initially switched them. So we switch a path to an alternate path. That new path gets congested. Right now we don't. So we don't have. But yeah, we're looking at that. So far we haven't done it.
So when you say your approach runs faster, did you take into account the overhead, the processing overhead that's done to figure out the new route, the path to change or something?
Yes, everything. We measured everything.
Okay. Did you also have estimates about the entire overhead produced by your method?
In
terms of computation, memory, and the extra traffic it generates?
So we looked at the CPU overhead that the software agents incur on the Hadoop servers, and it's very low. It's always under 5%, and that includes all the polling, all the processing, and we didn't really look at the overhead of Flowcom because that's on a separate computer, so we can make that as powerful as possible. That doesn't affect anything, any other processing in the network.
And what is the size of these transfers, right? So some people would say that you now see more and more small jobs, small Hadoop jobs running in your clusters, right? Where these transfers wouldn't have the time to batch a lot of intermediate results.
So we had the number in the paper. I think on the average, the transfers were on the order of tens of megabytes on the average, but some of them were much larger, some of them were smaller. And it's more, I mean, those small transfers, it's smaller window to take any action, so we don't have any chance of modifying them. But I think on the order of tens of megabytes on the average. So there, we have an oblivious network monitoring, which doesn't take into account any application. It just looks at the amount of bytes sent on network links. So that monitors all all the transfers, regardless of what application generates them. And then we have the application-based monitoring demand, which is done by each software agent on the Hadoop servers.
So some are per system and some are per job.
Right, we want to do the per system one because there may be other traffic that is not generated by Hadoop.
Right, because if you do this per job, then you might run into a scalability problem in the future if you have multiple jobs executed at the same time and everyone tries to make the same measurement and make the same.
You're right. So right now we have only one job, but that's a good concern.
Okay.